This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome. We're excited today to have an amazing webinar on the minimum responsibility towards Allah. In this webinar, you will learn the different types of responsibilities that you have in all facets of your life so that you can be a better Muslim. And we have one of the most esteemed scholars joining us today in our Ummah. I know that all of you are very anxious to hear this amazing lecture. I would also like to just let everybody know that we are in open registration right now for all of our courses. And as you know, Islamic Online University is a leading provider of Islamic education online, accredited, affordable, easily accessible all over the globe. We have programs in our bachelor's level in Islamic psychology, Islamic banking and finance, Islamic studies, education, and other areas with many different certificates and diplomas available. We also have our master's program in Islamic studies. We also offer the intensive Arabic language program, which is an advanced way to learn Arabic all online from home, and the Global Memorization Quranic Center, which is a way to earn your ijazah in your Quranic recitation and also to memorize the Quran. So we urge you to please take a look at all of these amazing programs that we offer on our website. And without any further ado, I would like to introduce more about our speaker today. Sheikh Hussein Yi was born into a Buddhist family and embraced Islam in 1968. At the young age of only 18, he pursued studies at the University of Medina in Saudi Arabia, majoring in Hadith. While pursuing these studies and degree in Medina, he studied under the renowned 20th century Islamic scholar Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah. After graduating in 1978, he returned to Malaysia and joined the Muslim welfare organization Perkin, which focused on the welfare of converts to Islam. He later served as the director of an Islamic center in Hong Kong. Yi was a board member of the London-based Islamic Education and Research Academy, and he is currently the president of El Khadim International, an Islamic welfare organization which he himself founded in 1984. In 2015, he gave a keynote address at the Australian Islamic Peace Conference, which was attended by leaders from Jewish and Christian faiths. He has also been a featured speaker on numerous Islamic TV channels, including Bahrain TV, Islam Channel, Peace TV, and Ikra TV, as well as being a renowned conference lecturer and attending many events and making da'wah all over the world. Hussein Yi, to talk to us today about the minimum responsibility towards Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Innal hamdalillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla wa man yudlil fala hadiya la. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. To all my dear brothers and sisters wherever you are who are following this program. Firstly, we would like to thank Allah Rabbul Alamin as the creator of all things, the sender of all prophets from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Ismail to Moses to Jesus and the last messenger of Allah to humanity, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And also we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to overcome the weaknesses we have within ourselves. And also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to overcome the weaknesses and also to save us from doing things that do not benefit us in the form of action or words. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, we all are aware, being a believer, number one, it's very important to know what is the minimum responsibility that we must do towards ourselves. There is something that every Muslim must learn and must understand. This kind of knowledge is normally called fardu'ain, a knowledge that every Muslim must learn and act upon it. Now, if you look back in the Quran, in Surah 66, verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have created us in the best creation compared with all other creation that Allah have created, He said to us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara ila al-akhirah ayah. Now this ayah begins with a reminder, a call, an invitation from Allah the Creator to all of us. He, Allah, is calling upon all who believe. Now, one important thing that I like to share with all the listeners, all the brothers and sisters, wherever you are, is that are we all believers? If you look into the reality, everyone do believe in something. Everybody is a believer in somewhere. To something, we do believe, at least we believe in ourselves. But when Allah is addressing the believer, He is talking to those who have the right belief, who believe in the right thing, the right God, the right religion. Not just a belief, but a belief that guide you to what is right. Now Allah said to us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who believe, Qu anfusakum. Our main responsibility, our minimum responsibility that we must look into ourselves is to save our soul. Now, how to save your soul, brothers and sisters? It's not difficult, of course, for us to understand what is the best way to save ourselves. It's not easy because we do not know what we are doing sometimes. We do not know what is our future. We really don't know what is really good and bad for us sometimes. Basing on our instinct and also our desire that is part of us, we always feel that we know better. We think that we know what is good for us. But in reality, no one really knows except Allah Almighty, the Creator, the All-Knowing, the All-Seeing, the All-Hearing, the All-Powerful. Now He, Allah Rabbul Alameen, is reminding us how to save ourselves. Now, the best way to save ourselves, number one, is to make sure that we have the right belief. Not just a belief, but the right belief. Believing in the true God, the God who created all of us, who created Adam, Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, everything that we see and the thing that we can see. Now, to believe in that particular God is fardu'ain. It's a responsibility to every one of us to know who is our true creator, who is the true God. And to do that, you must stay away from all kind of shirk. Without staying away from shirk, you have failed yourself. In the Quran, in other ayah, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, the successful one are those who save their soul and do not allow their soul to be corrupted, who purify themselves from all type of shirk, whether it's minor, major, hidden one, or an open shirk, whether it is a small one, or maybe it's something that is severe, any kind of shirk that will destroy our iman must be abandoned. There is number one, minor or major. Without saving yourself from shirk, you have failed yourself. And that's why Allah said, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Indeed, the failure are those who allow themselves to be corrupted. Either our iman is been corrupted, our mind been corrupted, our heart been corrupted, our ear, our hearing be corrupted. All these are things that we must take good care of it. And this is something where the Prophet ﷺ do not excuse any one of us. He was sent as a mercy to all of us. Not only to Muslim. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The Prophet was reminded by Allah to inform every one of us that he was sent for the world to bring love and mercy, to save us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind us that he sent this Prophet not only to a particular race. Our Prophet Muhammad is very different than the early prophets, where the early Prophet was only sent to a particular nation and people. Where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam likafatin nasi bashiran wa nazira, to all mankind as a warner and as a giver of glad tidings. Brothers and sisters, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also remind us with one of the famous hadiths, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati. Every one of us is a leader to yourself, and we are responsible towards our own leadership. What you want to be, what do you want to become in the future, it is up to us to decide. And Allah subhanahu have taught us to ask him for guidance. And that's why he wants us to pray. And when we pray, there's one prayer, there's a very powerful prayer. Whether you're young, old, male or female, whether you're a scholar, or you are just a lay person, you must ask Allah this important prayer. That is, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim. O Allah, guide us all to the straight path. Not guide me only, or you only, guide all of us to the straight path. Now, this is what we always said. One of the best and the easier way to save ourselves, number one, is to stay away from what Allah has made haram for us. Allah who created all of us, who loved us so much, more than we love our own self, more than anyone else who loved us, even our parent, our father, our mother, who loved us so much, but Allah loved us more. So he reminds us that you must stay away from what is haram, especially food. Why? Because if you eat the wrong food, that food will destroy you. You have failed yourself. And the Prophet also reminds us, وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. Remember that our body have right upon us, meaning ourselves have right upon us. Make sure we only eat food that benefit our body. And also make sure that we only drink that also benefit us, that do not intoxicate us. Because food is the source, yeah? All this food and drink is a food for our body. But in the same time, when you have a good body, healthy body, you have a healthy mind. And that's why we are not supposed to destroy the healthy mind that Allah have given us. And that's why Allah forbid us to drink any drink that intoxicates us. And also action. There are action that is also haram that we are not aware of. Most of the time, when we talk about haram, we focus on food. We don't even focus on the drink that we are drinking sometimes. About our action, a lot of us just don't bother. Action can come in a form of we ourselves are not careful with what we do. And we are selfish sometimes. We only do things for ourselves and we forget that other people also have right upon us. The environment also have right upon us. Now you must know what you are allowed to do, what you are not allowed to do. Example, we know we are not allowed to steal, to rob, to kill, to cause harm to others. This is something very basic in Islam. And also you must know what kind of speech that is haram. There are words that is haram. You are not supposed to lie. You are not supposed to use bad words. You are not supposed to curse people. You are not supposed to create fitna, bad biting, gossiping. All these are considered haram words or haram speech. How many people are very alert about all these things? And this is very basic. We are talking just about ourselves. We are not talking about others. We have to look into ourselves and ask ourselves, what are we doing to ourselves? When you want to speak about something, make sure whatever you speak is something that is good. Or not, then you are committing a sin. And that's why our Prophet ﷺ was sent by Allah to guide us. And he reminded us in one of his saying, "Man kana yu'minu billah wa yawmul akhir, falyakul khairan aw liyasmut." Whenever a person wants to say something, whenever you want to speak with anybody, make sure what you say is something that benefits you and the listener. That is good. Or not, silent is always better. And also we have to look into our dressing. This is something I always remind myself and all my fellow brother and sister wherever I meet them, that please focus on the minimum responsibility first, about fardu ain, before we go further. But if we fail to do this, we will fail to save others. We know in the beginning of the ayah, we have shared with all the good brothers and sisters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." You have to save yourself, then only you can save others. And Allah reminds us that others is your immediate family first. Before you reach out to other people, make sure we try our best to reach out to those who are close to us. Our immediate family, our sibling, our children. And this is how we move forward. After that, you go to your neighbor, you go to the community, and then you go out to all people that you are allowed to meet up with them, that you are given the opportunity to meet up with them, to remind them about amal ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. Now, dressing is one of the important part of saving our own soul, our own body. Whatever we wear, we know that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not accept our prayer. It's because of our food, drink, and our dress. There is a saying of the Prophet to a Bedouin travelers. We know that the traveler's dua is very powerful. Dua Musafir is one of the dua that will not be rejected by Allah. Then one day a traveler came to the Prophet and said, "Why? When I ask Allah for this and for that, Allah is not responding to my prayer." Then the Prophet ﷺ reminded the brothers or the Sahaba that how can Allah respond to a prayer when the one who performed the prayer or asking Allah for this and that is eating haram food, haram drinks, and haram dress. Now, this Bedouin was shocked and surprised. "What do you mean haram food? I'm eating the same food like everybody is eating all the halal food. I'm drinking all the halal drink. I don't drink any drink that intoxicates me. I'm dressing jubbah, the normal dress like all Arabs are dressing." But the Prophet ﷺ is trying to make them understand. It's not just the food should be haram, should be halal, excuse me, or the drink or the dress, but make sure the money that we spend to buy the food, the money that you use to buy the food, drink, or to buy the dress must come from a halal income. Look at how beautiful the teaching of Islam. When one person is very careful about himself or herself, who is careful with his word, with his action, with his food, his drink, I believe, inshallah, he will be very careful to others. But when you don't care about yourself, then I don't feel that you can care for others. Ibda' min nafsik, thumma illa man da'a. Islam is a very practical, simple religion. Islam is not here to burden anybody. The first thing Islam wants us to do is to be responsible to our own self. Be good to yourself. And I believe if we are good to ourselves, then whatever comes from us is going to be good. We always want the best. And inshallah, we'll give others the best. And that's why the Prophet even said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." You cannot be a true believer until you love your brother or the sister like how you love for yourself. This is the basic reminder of Allah and the teaching of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for every believer to look into themselves first. And Allah also remind us, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِكُمْ إِلَى تَحْلُكَ. He also said, do not do anything that may cause destruction to yourself. Anything that may cause destruction to yourself is haram. And that's why eating anything that is bad for your body, drinking any drink, or doing any act that can cause harm to say is haram. Even speaking bad thing about others also is haram. And dressing something that we are not supposed to dress. We male have our male kind of dressing. For the female, they have their type of dressing. So there must be a difference between we and them. If not, then why Allah made a he and a she? Is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know the difference between a he and a she. This is also very important for us to understand. And one of the things that is also very important that can help us, brother and sister, to make sure that we are in contact with Allah. Because you cannot consider yourself as a good person or a believer until you have an ongoing relationship with Allah Almighty, the Creator. And this responsibility is also fardu ain, is the minimum responsibility of all Muslims. And there is the salah, our fardu prayer. As a Muslim, you cannot give excuses, say, oh, I have no time for Allah. How can we say that? When we have so much time to spend, to waste, to talk about this and that, even when we're having food, we waste 1 hour, 2 hours just for our food and drink, and you say that you have no time for Allah. Look at the beauty of salah. The salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, it's not difficult at all. One, you have the right belief. But when you don't have the right belief, of course, sometimes the 5 prayer can be a burden to you. So you have to check into yourself. Am I having the right iman? Is my iman sound, strong, good, or I have a very weak iman? By looking into your prayer, you will know whether your iman is okay or not. We know that the prayer that Allah has made as an obligation upon all of us is only 5. Not more than that. I think we eat and drink more than that every day. Only 5. We know that it's important to have good food and drink to keep our body strong and moving. But also you need to make sure that you feed your soul with the right food. And the food of the soul is not the normal food that we eat and drink. It's zikrullah. And the best zikr is through salah. And that's why Allah said in Surah Toha, أَقِمُ الصَّلَةِ لِذِكْرِ. Establish your prayer so that you will remember Allah. By remembering Allah, brothers and sisters, it strengthens our memory. Because when we are performing our namaz or salah, we must be focused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not just want us to perform a prayer for the sake of praying, no. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did remind us about two kinds of people. Number one, the person who perform prayer, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. And then Allah is telling us that there are person who pray, there are people who pray, but Allah don't accept the prayer. In return, Allah is cursing them. Why? Because they are not performing prayer to Allah. It's an exercise. Their mind is not there. It's only the body, but not the mind and not the soul. And Allah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّ. Allah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers are the successful ones. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And a believer, inshallah, when he have the right belief and the right knowledge of God, to strengthen your belief, brothers and sisters, you must have the right knowledge. Because belief have nothing to do with tradition, culture, no. Belief is something from Allah. It's not something that you inherit from your parent. Nothing to do with that. It's a gift from Allah Rabbul Alameen to all the Prophet, and the Prophet have taught all their companions. Now, it is very important to have the right knowledge to make sure that our belief is true, is correct. What is right knowledge? We have been seeking knowledge everywhere. Even Islamic Online University is offering a lot of knowledge to all of us. But what is knowledge? What is the foundation of knowledge? Knowledge is not I think, I feel. Have nothing to do how you feel. Knowledge is facts and evidence. Facts and evidence that is from Allah Almighty, the Creator. Everything that Allah said in His book, that is true and pure knowledge. Nothing to do with feeling, nothing to do with tradition. And also, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned in his Sahih Hadith is pure and true knowledge. My opinion, your opinion, what the majority is saying have nothing to do with knowledge. It is just opinion. It may be right, it may be wrong. But what is from Allah's book in the Quran is 100% correct. About the past, about the present and the future. And also what the Prophet ﷺ have said to us is true. It had happened and is going to happen. And now also is happening and is going to happen in the future. So praying is very important. I hope all the brothers and sisters, how busy you are, do not abandon Allah. By abandoning your prayer, the salah, means you are abandoning Allah Rabbul Alameen. And this is something that a Muslim should not do. A Muslim should not excuse themselves and say, I have no time. For those who overslept, example, it's so easy. The minute you're awake, you just take your wudu and start your prayer. For those who forget, the minute that you remember, you perform your salah. There's no issue at all. We, of course, have our own weaknesses on and off. But the minute you remember, that's the time you have to perform your prayer. The same goes to when you are a traveler, brother and sister. Look how Allah makes this religion so simple, so easy, so practical, so logical, and so rational. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to travel, fasiru fil ard, to look at Allah's creation. But in the same time, He offering those travelers a special discount for their prayer. All the four units of salah, the four rakat salah, is reduced to raka'atain only, salatul qasr. And you are allowed also to combine your prayer to do jama'. So what excuse do we have? If you can't stand while praying because you are not well, you can sit and perform your prayer. If you still can't sit, you can even perform your prayer lying down. Allazina yazkurunallaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. Allah make it so simple. You have no water, you can still do dry cleaning, tayammum. But if you said, no, I have no time, of course, then we have problem. We have to look into ourselves now. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqillah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin wattaqullah innallaha khabirun bima ta'malun. Allah is reminding us who believe in Allah. We all always claim that we are believers. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we hope Allah accept what we declare to Allah Rabbul Alameen. If we are sincere in our declaration, inshallah, Allah know what is in our heart. Now Allah is telling us, O you who believe in Allah, be obedient to Him. Be faithful to Him. Now, to be obedient to Allah in Islam is not just to be obedient to Him when you are with your family, at home, when you're in the masajid, or when you're in Mecca or Medina, or when you're in Islamic forums, Islamic gathering. Ittaqillah haythuma kunt, the Prophet said. Be obedient, be faithful to Allah wherever you are. This is very important. Yeah. Now, again, when you look at why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to pray, because that is the best way for us to keep our relationship with Him. You remember Allah, brother and sister, in good time. Allah is always there for you in bad time. Allah never forget all of us. Even how unfaithful we are to Him, He still provides for us. He still forgives us. He gives us the eyes, the ear, the tongue, the hand, the leg, and everything free of charge. Never once Allah sent water bill to us, electric bill to us. In return, He just wants us to be thankful to Him. And that one of the best ways to show our gratitude to Allah, Rabbul Alameen, is to perform our prayer. We remember one verse of Allah, Rabbul Alameen, that is very, very important, brothers and sisters. I believe majority of the Muslims have memorized this ayah. And this ayah is in chapter 6, verses 162. Allah, Rabbul Alameen, remind us. Yeah? That it's very important that we should be truthful to Him, sincere, trustworthy, and be committed to Allah Rabbul Alameen with what we have declared to Allah. One of the declarations that we always say to Allah Rabbul Alameen, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is what we have been saying to Allah Rabbul Alameen. in our salah. Indeed, all my prayer, all my sacrifices, and my living, whatever I do in this life, when I eat, when I drink, when I work, when I travel, when I do work with people, when I entertain my guests, whatever I do in my living is purely for Allah. And also, I will make sure that I will die only for the sake of Allah. I'm not going to die for the sake of this and that, for dunya, for gold and silver, for the sake of people. No. I want to make sure that I have a good ending. Brothers and sisters, we are reciting the same ayah, like how this ayah was recited by the companions of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best of generation. Khairul Qurun Qarni, the Prophet said, the best generation are the generation in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are reciting the same ayah. But what is the difference between our recitation and their recitation? If you look into it properly, then you realize the main difference between we and them is that we are not committed. They are very sincere and committed to whatever they say to Allah Rabbul Alamin. Whatever they say to Allah, they make sure that they fulfill it. Where we are just reciting it as a lip service, not from the heart. That makes a lot of difference. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, inform us about the best generation. Why they are best? Because this group of people is a group of sami'na wa ata'na. They have these two very important characteristics. That is, they listen to whatever Allah want them to do, what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want them to do, and then they follow up with ta'ah. As-sam'a wa ta'ah. They hear and they obey. That's why they were blessed by Allah Rabbul Alamin. Now we also hear the ayah. We attend classes. Shuyukh is reminding us. Our parent remind us. Our good friend is reminding us. But what happened to us? Sami'na wa asayna. Yes, we hear, but we are not responding to the call, to the reminder. This is the main difference that we and the companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, between we and the companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So once again, brother and sister, we hope that we will try our level best from today to start to look into ourselves. Don't look about what the people are doing now. Of course, we also have a responsibility towards others. But before we look into that, let us be kind to ourselves, to look into ourselves. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did remind us in some other ayah, duribat alayhimu zillatu aynama thuqifu illa bihablim minallahi wa hablim minannas. That the destruction or the anger of Allah will befall to anybody wherever they are, except those who have a good relationship with Allah. Aynama thuqifu illa bihablim minallahi, except those who have a good relation with Allah and wahabli minan nas, and towards humanity. So we hope and we pray, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our heart and be just to ourselves before we want to look at others, talk about others. Let us look into ourselves and ask ourselves, what have I been doing so far to be a good practicing Muslim? I believe, brother and sister, when you are humble, not overconfident. When you are humble, you can see the light of Allah better. And you learn a lot of wisdom. But if you are overconfident of what you have learned, what you have, that will destroy you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also remind us, mashallah. Look at what Allah said, brothers and sisters. He have all the power to do anything He wants. But what did Allah say? He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition of any one of us until we want to make changes. And this is what I like to call upon all the good brothers and sisters who are following this program, who have been seeking a lot of knowledge. Please be humble. Please be humble. Don't be overconfident. And please get ready and prepare yourself to change, to become a better Muslim. Not just a Muslim, but a good and practicing Muslim. Not a weekly, yearly, monthly Muslim, but a daily Muslim. May Allah bless us. May Allah guide us. Once you have done that, brother and sister, I believe it's easy for us to save our family members because we are showing them good example, not just telling them what to do, we are showing them what is good. And then we can go further up to our neighbors. Yeah, our neighbors also have right upon us. Like what we also have right upon our neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also remind us about our responsibility towards our neighbors by knowing our neighbors' right, how to honor them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said, "You are not a true believer if you sleep with your belly full and your neighbor is hungry." How to treat your guests with the right manners and adab example. A Muslim guest's responsibility is to remind the guests the do's and the don'ts and the etiquette as guests in our home. Yeah, it is our duty also to feed the guests, to accommodate them the minimum 3 days, but guests also must honor the host right. These are some of the duty that we must look into it so that we become a beneficial Muslim to other people. Brothers and sisters, lastly, we also want to share with you about our responsibility towards our family, not only the immediate, our husband or wife. Of course, husband and wife have certain responsibility to each other. The important thing for us to know is we must know the right and responsibility, the basic fundamental rights and responsibility towards each other. Then also, we must know that we also, both of us, have right and responsibility towards our children, the upbringing of our children, the environment that we have to create for our children, their education. What is the most important thing to teach our children when they are young is the adab, manners, yeah, especially in character building and finding for them a good partner, a good spouse in the future. And also, children must learn about their responsibilities and rights towards their parent, mashallah. If you look in the Quran, brother and sister, if there is an ayah that Allah used the word bil walidain, if you really understand this ayah carefully, every ayah that bil walidain, it always go to the mother first. There are some ayah that go to the father. Abawai. When Allah used the term abawai, that go to the father first because it's about responsibility. But when you talk about about love, ihsan, he always go to the mother first. So there's two things that we must try to understand why Allah use certain ayah in the Quran with the term bil walidain ihsan. Ihsan always come from the mother. But when come to abawai, it refer to the father first. And brothers and sisters, lastly, before we end and we open for the Q&A, the second part of our discussion tonight, is our duty towards our sibling. Duty and rights among sibling is also our responsibility, our daily responsibility, the minimum responsibility. And what is the thing that we should do among sibling? Amal ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. It is our duty. What makes us different with other nation? Because we are the best one. Allah said, kuntum khaira ummah ukhrijat linnasi ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. You, the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of us are the best ummah, the best nation. This title was given by Allah only to all of us. Why? Because we were been raised up by Allah among humanity to carry out amal ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, to remind people what is right and what to do that is good, and to stop them, to remind them about what is wrong so that they will stay away. If we will carry out this minimum responsibility, start from ourselves, our close family, our sibling, our neighbors, and to the community, inshallah, there will be a lot of peace and there are a lot of blessing from Allah Rabbul Alameen. So may Allah Rabbul Alameen help us to become a better person, and we hope that we are sincere to Allah Rabbul Alameen, that whatever we learn, brother and sister, is not just for the sake of knowledge, but we always humble and ask Allah, Allahumma zidni ilman nafi'a wa a'udhu bika min ilm la yanfa. When you want to seek knowledge, brother and sister, make sure that we ask Allah to increase in us knowledge that really can benefit us to become a better person. Not that knowledge that will destroy us. There are also knowledge that do not benefit us. So may Allah protect us from greater fitan, and may Allah forgive all our sins and the sin of all our parents who have returned back to Allah before all of us who have passed away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from all fitan. And now, inshallah, brother and sister, we may open for the second part. This Q&A session will be the tawfiqi wa akhir da'wana.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikhi, for an amazing lecture. Very motivational. It's a very good reminder for all of us about our rights and responsibilities in all the different areas of our life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq and the istiqamah and deen to carry all of these out. Ameen. Before we start the Q&A, I would just like to make a few announcements about some incredible events that we have coming up in February. We always offer an amazing variety of programs, but February seems to be a really eventful month. So let me just give you a rundown on what we will be having, and we hope to see you there. First of all, on February the 6th, we will be having Sheikh Omar Suleiman. We also have our Young Leadership 360 program. We will be having that on in later January on the 23rd, so please stay tuned for that, and we look forward to seeing you in all of those programs. Now we will start with the first of our questions for Sheikhi today. Sister Faiza is asking, how do I improve focus in my salah? I find that I tend to lose attention. It is because I am sinning?
Alhamdulillah, thanks for the question to the sister who forwarded this question. Now, we know that it is an ongoing jihad. Praying is an ongoing jihad. Nobody can claim that they are 100% focused. We know that the Satan is always there to disturb us. But one of the best ways to stay focused, to make sure that we have the right knowledge about the salah. The Prophet ﷺ did remind us by saying, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," meaning when you want to perform a prayer, make sure that you try your level best to do the way that I have done it. That means you have to perform your prayer like how we have seen our Prophet. We must know the movement properly, and also the recitation. We recite it with full of attention, meaning we don't have to rush. Yeah? And then you must understand all the ayah, the zikr that you recite in your prayer. By having this knowledge, inshallah, it helps you to focus. But the disturbance will still come, brother and sister. But don't entertain. We know the tashwish from the shaitan is always there, but we don't have to entertain it. We quickly have to bring back the meaning of whatever we're reciting in the prayer, and be focused again. Inshallah, with the right knowledge, the right understanding of what we are reciting in our prayer, inshallah, that will help us to be more focused. Wa jazakallahu khair.
Yes, our next question is from Mir Muhammad. He wants to know, how can he prove to be a responsible Muslim as a student? And I would like to expand that question in both terms of academia and Islamiyat.
Now, when you look at how to be a responsible student or to be a good student, it's not difficult. If you know that you are a student, the best way to behave as a student is to be a good listener. When the teacher is talking to you, it is your duty to just pay attention. Listen carefully so that you do not miss whatever the teacher is trying to share with you. And it's the duty of a good student, if you are not aware or you don't have the right understanding about what the teacher is trying to say to you, it's your duty to follow up with a question. And that's why question is a key of knowledge. As-su'al miftah al-ilm. But how can you question when the teacher is talking to you and you are not listening? You are not paying attention to what the teacher is telling you, who is talking to you. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ also remind us by saying, "Ittaqillah, usikum bittaqwallah," be faithful to Allah. And how to be faithful? As-sam'ah wa ta'ah, be a good listener. This is one of the adab that a student should have to be a good student. And the best student is a student who learn how to honor the teacher. They must respect their teacher. The Prophet even guide us by saying, "Man waqara aliman faqad waqara rabbah." Whoever honor and respect the teacher, then it's like they are respecting Allah Rabbul Alamin. So by having that right attitude, inshallah, we will become a good student. And when you pay attention and you become a very committed student, the teacher will also respond very positive to you. So may Allah make us a good student, inshallah.
Ameen ya Rab. We have a question coming from Amanda. Sometimes it's easy for me to disobey Allah and fall into sins. How can I increase my fear of Allah?
Yes, we know being human, we are not perfect. Nobody can say that they are 100% perfect. Our iman increase and decrease. That is our iman, because our environment is not helping us. When we commit sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still opened the door of repentance, and He still loves us. And He wants us to repent to Him. To the extent Then Allah said, "Man taba, illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha, fa ulaika yubaddilullahu sayiatihim hasanat wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima." To the sister, please remember, this is the kindness of Allah. If we have committed sins because the weakness of our iman, then Allah said, if you really repent to Him with a sincere repentance, Allah will forgive and erase all the sin that you have committed. Not only that, in return, the sin that you have committed, He will transfer into good deeds. Look at the mercy of Allah. But don't give up to Allah. The Prophet also reminds us by saying, "Kullu bani Adam qatta'un wa khairu qatta'in tawwabun." All children of Adam do commit sins here and there, sometimes minor, sometimes major. But the best among the sinners are those who do not keep on committing the same sin, but those who repent to Allah Rabbul Alameen. So don't give up hope with Allah Rabbul Alameen. Follow up the righteous deeds. And the best thing to do is, if you are very weak, you must get into an environment where you have good sisters who are stronger than you that can help you to minimize your sin. Inshallah, the environment do help. May Allah bless us.
Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surround you with the righteous people and increase you in iman and taqwa, and all of us, Ameen Ya Rab. We have a question from G. I think this is related to how much emphasis that you placed on dressing. We have a responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to dress properly and to wear the garments of taqwa. And so she's asking, how do I go from a Western style of dress to a more modest style when I'm afraid?
Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, I thought that you might want me to do that.
Hello, can you repeat the question?
Actually, what she's asking is, how do I go from, and she's saying a Western style of dress, but I'm assuming she means maybe a less Islamic style of dress, to becoming more modest, even though I feel very afraid. Like, apparently she feels afraid to have a complete and full Muslim identity in her dress. So fulfilling this responsibility to Allah in the way that she dresses is causing some anxiety from her and some fear, and she wants to know how to overcome that.
Okay. To the sisters, now, if you look into the teaching of Islam, Islam do recognize that we have our own culture, our own tradition. Now, any dress that do not contradict with the principle of Islam, you can even dress in that manner as long as the dress cover your aurah. That means the dress must be loose and also it must not be transparent. Now, the fashion is not an issue. It's not that you must dress like an Arab to be a good Muslim, no. Example, if you are in China, the Chinese Muslim, they may dress the way like the normal Chinese woman is dressing, yeah, but they only wear it a longer dress, and loose and not transparent. Alhamdulillah. The important thing you must remember, go back to the basic, is the covering of the aurah. Not only covering the skin, but also the shape of our body. When I look into what happened in the West before, most of the ladies do dress a very modest kind of dressing, very loose. Only maybe their cutting is a bit different. They do expose the upper part of their body a bit here and there. So we don't have to do that as long as we cover ourselves properly. Now, even the color of our dress, the Prophet now said that you must dress only in black. No, any color that, I mean, it's not so, I would say that don't create fitna. Yeah. A color that is very common use in your society, your community, is allowed in Islam. So don't worry about what people will say about us. When you fear Allah more, inshallah, the fear towards the people will get lesser. But when you fear people more, then of course you have a problem. So learn how to fear Allah more, not to create something that completely against your environment. Just dress like a normal dress, as long as it covers your aura, and then it is not transparent, alhamdulillah, Allah will accept that as an Islamic dressing. Naam.
MashaAllah, Jazakallahu khairan for that very elaborate answer, and he's gone through the different areas of fiqh for us. There's several points of women's dress, and I really appreciate you clarifying the fact that our dress is not cultural. It actually has these specific qualities, but it's not limited to one particular culture. It can be reflective of the culture that you live in, which is it shows the flexibility of our religion and the beauty of our religion. Sabina has a question for you, Sheikhi. She wants to know more about our responsibility to our parents. I know you did talk about this in the lecture, but she wants you to talk about it a little bit more, our deep responsibility to them.
Now, our main responsibility towards our parents is to honor them, to respect them, to help them when they need our help. But in the same time, everything that we do, even to our own parents, there's a limit to everything. The Prophet ﷺ did remind us, "La ta'atul makhluq fi ma'asatillah." When we obey and respect somebody like our parent, there is also a limit. As long as what our parent do not force us to do something against Allah and the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, we should obey and try to please them. Now, give you some simple example. It's very important for us to show our parents that we care for them, like how they care for us. I'll give you one simple example. If you know that your parents love cleanliness, so each time when you wake up, you make sure that your room is clean. And you can even help your parent, your mom, in the kitchen. If you know that your mom loves cooking and she's very busy in the kitchen, you should try to spend some time with her and help her with the stuff in the kitchen. The same to your father. If your father, he loved a clean car example, why not you clean his car every morning if you have the time? Make him happy. You don't lose anything by making your parent happy. Serving your parent is something so noble that Allah is so pleased with you. By pleasing your parent for the sake of Allah, Allah will be very pleased to you. Brothers and sisters, please remember, you only can be dutiful to your parent, make them really very happy when they are still alive. And that's why Allah commands us to be dutiful to our parent. After obeying Allah, we should be dutiful to our parent. Just try your best to do what they want you to do. I always remind a lot of my students that the best way to know how to make your parent happy is to ask them what they want you to do. Ask them, "Mom, Dad, what do you want me to do for you?" Because sometimes there are things that we want to do, maybe we are not really helping them. We are making them more unhappy, more sad, more angry sometimes. So the best way is to ask them. Like, you know certain things that your parents love, your mom, certain fruits, certain kind of foods, or your dad, why not when you are traveling, you do buy that kind of food and bring it home for them? Of course, that little thing that you are doing, brother and sister, to you is nothing, to them means a lot. A parent always remember their children wherever they are when they are having their food. But we children always forget them. So that's how you should try to be dutiful to your parent. And it's not expensive at all. Anyhow, all the money that we have is from them. So we are just making use of this money to bring something that make them happy. So inshallah, I believe that would be the best way to serve our parent.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikhi, for expanding on that. Zaytun has a question. Sheikh, may Allah bless you and your family. Is it considered backbiting if you complain to your spouse about the issues that concern your family to relieve the stress of that?
You complain about which family? Sorry, I would like to understand.
Well,
the
I think problem. She means that is it considered backbiting if you complain to your spouse about issues that concern your family? I think that she means the extended relatives and whatever problems that she has with the extended relatives. To discuss those issues with her husband, is she going to be violating the rights of those Muslims, or is that considered backbiting, or can she actually seek his advice and counsel on how to resolve these issues without it being considered backbiting?
Naam, alhamdulillah, it's a very important question. We know that sometimes when we have extended family, the in-laws and so on, of course, we may have different values at time, so they may have some issues. But if you can overcome the issue by yourself, alhamdulillah, if you can, then it's good to share with your partner, your spouse, your husband, or your wife. Why? Because we need to help each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind us, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِسْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So the intention is important. Are you talking about them with the intention to backbite them, to belittle them, to develop the hatred from your husband or the wife to hit them too? No. If that is your intention, then that is wrong. But if your intention is try to discuss how to overcome that problem, how to make sure that we can have a better relationship between our extended family, this is something encouraged in Islam. Because without you sharing with your loved one, your spouse, they won't understand. So you have to share if you encounter any problem so that they know that your intention is very clear. We are not here to gossip, just talk and leave it like that. We are finding a solution. How best that we can do to help to have a good relationship between the extended family. It's not bad by thing if your intention is correct, inshallah.
Okay, we have a question from Nayla concerning our responsibility to our fellow Muslims in giving them nasiha. And she wants to know about how do we make da'wah for people that have joined various groups, whether it be Sufi, Naqshbandi, or in many various different groups that we may have in Islam. How do we give them the proper advice?
Alhamdulillah, to the sister, we know that part of our responsibility to remind each other. Even Allah said, "Zakir fa inna zikra tanfa'al mu'minin." It's our duty to remind each other, because reminding each other always bring benefit to the believers. And even the Prophet ﷺ remind us, "Ad-dinu nasiha." Religion is always based on good advice, but the intention is very important. When you see somebody is getting further and further from the Siratul Mustaqim, from the right manhaj, of course it's our duty to feel for them because we love them. So we have to remind them. But number one is the intention. Are they reminding them just to show them that you know better? To show who you are, that I'm a learned person, I'm a scholar? No, you don't have to do that. You remind them because you love them, you do not want them to turn astray. And they are not aware that they are turning astray. So reminding a person based on the hadith of the Prophet, number one is lillah. Your intention must be clear. Not to judge that person, to completely say that he's wrong. If you try to prejudge a person, of course, then that person won't be happy. No one who is trying to do something good and they do not know that what they are doing is not correct, will accept any kind of advice that is not in the right manner. That means with the right adab, with the right spirit. You can see sometimes when people want to advise us, it's like they are scolding us. They are judging us that we are so wrong, that we are going to be the dalal, ahli dalal. But you must approach them and say, brother, alhamdulillah, I love you for the sake of Allah. MashaAllah, you are trying to do so many good things, but I just like to share with you, you know. Example, if you get involved in all these other groups who are claiming that they have a direct communication with Allah, they have a special zikr, we just remind them that the best zikr is the zikr that the Prophet ﷺ have taught us. Share with them. If there is any dalil that they can prove it to us that they are also following the authentic hadith, then we will follow them, no problem. But if they don't have dalil, then we must give them the dalil. Give them the dalil so they will start to think. We do not want to act on their behalf. Let them act upon themselves. Now, nasihat is very important. It's the approach, the adab. How to approach them. Now, if after we have done our level best with respect, not by condemning them, not be harsh on them, what should we do? وَتَوَصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. You must also have sabr and pray to Allah. Who is the one who is giving hidayah, who can change their mind and their heart? It's Allah, not we. Our duty is to remind them, to share with them. That's what we have to do. But don't give up so easily, brother and sister. When you are trying to remind somebody, it may take time. Your first approach may be wrong, but don't give up. When they don't respond positively, now we have to look into ourselves. What went wrong with our approach? Inshallah, I believe that if you use the right approach, with the right intention, with the help of Allah, and with wisdom, of course, bil hikmah, Allah will open their heart again. I have a lot of friends who have gone through all this kind of groups, but alhamdulillah, after a few meeting with them, few discussion, they are starting to think and open their mind, open their heart, open their eye. They see things differently now. So we do not just push them away. We try our best to get closer to them, try to win them over, but not in a harsh way, with love. Inshallah, I believe that what Sayyidina Ali said was very good about this nasiha. He said, لِكُلِّ مَقَالِ مَقَامِ وَلِقُلِّ مَقَامْ مَقَالْ. Mean in every place there's a word to apply. You must know how to use the word that you want to say to your friend. And in every word there is a place. You cannot use the same kind of word in the same area if the thing do not work. So use your wisdom, brother and sister. If you still fail, then you can try to get closer to somebody who is close to that person. Maybe they don't listen from you, but they may listen from other who they are close to and who they respect. So don't give up your hope to help another brother or sister by giving them the right advice. Not only the right advice people cannot accept sometimes, even the ayat that you recite, if your approach is wrong, they would even reject the ayat and the saying of the Prophet ﷺ. So may Allah help us, and don't give up, and always pray. May Allah open their heart. We just can convey to them, remind them, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah is the one who gives hidayah at the end of the day. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh, for that wonderful methodology on correcting people's mistakes according to the Prophet ﷺ's manner. We have one last question today. Coming from Farhiya, this is about our responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in understanding our deen properly and our obligations of salah. Are the two rakatain before Fajr fard, and is it haram to pray only the last two rakat? Basically, she's asking asking if the rakatain before Fajr is fard. I think she's referring to the sunnah, okay? And then
Okay.
she's asking, is it haram to pray only the last two rakat? I think what she's asking is, do I have to pray the two sunnah rakatain before I pray the
Fajr.
obligatory fard Fajr or not? I
Naam.
think that's the
Okay.
question.
Okay. Now, based on one of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, a man came to the Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I only pray the fardu prayer without any optional prayer. Without any optional prayer. No qabliya, no ba'diya, just purely five obligatory prayer. And I only fast in Ramadan. I only give zakat. And I only perform hajj once, khalas. I only do the minimum, the obligatory, and I want to go to Jannah. MashaAllah." You see, this man, he is just very straightforward guy, and he want to ask the Prophet. And what did the Prophet say to him? "Naam, yes, you can go to paradise. As long as you really observe the minimum obligatory prayer, obligation upon you from Allah Rabbul Alameen, you do it properly, inshallah. That is sufficient. But if you are given an option to choose, other than the fard prayer, the two rak'at, two unit prayer of Fajr, of course there is two qabliya Fajr, where the Prophet ﷺ always encourages Ummah who are able to perform the sunnah prayer not to miss the two rak'at qabliya Fajr before Fajr and the witr prayer after Isya. Because the Prophet did mention in one of his hadith, the meaning of the hadith is that the qabliya pray before Fajr, the two unit or two rak'at before Fajr, is considered the opening prayer of the day. And witr is the closing prayer of the day. So it's nice to open with something, follow up with fardu, and then we end with witr, if you are able to do it. If not, then as long as you can maintain your obligatory prayer in a good manner, with khushu', with the right quality, inshallah, quality, inshallah, quality, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, that we had so many wonderful questions and so much participation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, and also a Sheikh Yi for giving us his time and attention today. We really do appreciate him addressing us today on this issue, which I'm sure all of us have gained from and benefited from this noble reminder. I just wanted to remind everybody once again that we have these great events in February coming up. On February the 6th, Sheikh Omar Suleiman. February the 15th, El Mu'minat, Rewriting the Female Legacy with Our Glorious Past with Sister Alima Ashfaq. And we have our Youth Leadership 360 program coming up at the end of January. Please remember also that we are in open registration right now and classes begin again in March. Check out our website to see all of the various programs and degrees that we offer at IOU. And we look forward to seeing you in our upcoming programs. Jazakallahu khairan and masalama and masalama and masalama and masalama and masalama.